This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله welcome everyone all audience to the MAP official YouTube link YouTube channel alhamdulillah tonight we will have a session a very important and interesting session with us an international renowned speaker I would like to ask everyone if you could also please share this link to your friends, to your family, and hopefully many of us would receive benefit from tonight's session, alhamdulillah. So feel free also to comment and to like as well as to ask questions throughout this whole session. And you don't need to stay to the end of the session to ask questions. So do that anytime. And I will ask any of your questions to our speaker. But you do need to wait until the end. We have a quiz and hopefully you would be able to answer the quizzes and we have prizes for you to win. Alhamdulillah. And hopefully you will also get knowledge, inshallah, also with blessings and barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, before we begin, I would like to introduce you to our speaker for tonight. So allow me to introduce our speaker. Sheikh Wael Ibrahim is an esteemed author, international speaker, mentor, marriage counselor, and porn addiction educator. He is the founder of the Aware Academy, a platform dedicated to helping those who are struggling with pornography addiction. So this Aware Academy is based in Australia. He is also the author of several books. Those which are related to our topic tonight includes, I'll mention three. First is a book entitled Change, a Motivational System to Break Free from Undesirable Habits, especially pornography. The second book is Beat It, 50 Plus Shades of Hope. And his latest work entitled Aware, Finding Out Who You Are Without Porn. Brother Wael Ibrahim is a certified master life coach, a holder of Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies, and is currently is the student counselor at the Australian Islamic College in Perth, Australia. We are honored to have Brother Wael Ibrahim tonight with us live from Perth, Australia. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh to one and all.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. We are excited. So let us begin with looking at some context regarding our topic for today. The topic of our discussion today is unmasking the hidden dangers of the visual cocaine. According to the study carried out in 2021 in Malaysia, there's this study that showed that there's a high prevalence of pornography exposure among Malaysian college students, especially among the males. So in this study, which was conducted in Penang is one of the states in Malaysia, Brother Wael. So the study conducted among 986 college students in Penang, among nine colleges, 986 students who were aged 18 to 25. And they found out that these students, among all of this, 74.5% had already watched pornography. And another finding is that those who frequently watched porn had already began watching pornography since the age of 14 years old. And other researchers showed quite similar findings. For example, one of the research in UKM, University Kebangsaan Malaysia, for example, showed that there is a high increasing rise in exposure to pornography among teenagers. So this is something very much worrying for us, especially in a Muslim country, where majority of Malaysians are Muslims, up to 70%. So we need to do something. So today with us is Sheikh Wael Ibrahim, who is very much experienced dealing with people who have addiction to pornography. So I'd like to ask the first question. And to kickstart our discussion, let's first break down the title. So the title is Porn, Unmasking the Dangers of the Visual Cocaine. We understand that cocaine is a highly addictive drug that can lead to a lot of negative impact to a person who takes it. And in Malaysia, it's illegal. So cocaine is illegal. So Sheikh Wael, the title of discussion today refers to pornography as a visual cocaine. Why do you think this is a good comparison? Could you explain a bit more to us?
Jazakallah khairan, and thanks to all those who are involved in bringing this event, inshallah, to light. Alhamdulillah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. First of all, brother, I have resigned my post as the counselor of the Australian Islamic College in Perth. So I just wanted to correct this bit of information, inshallah, before we begin. Secondly, cocaine is not just prohibited in Malaysia, it's prohibited globally. So it's the most deadliest drug on planet Earth. And the reason why it is, and the reason why pornography is compared to cocaine addiction are the following, inshallah ta'ala. But before that, I wanted to direct the audience and those who are watching us to this amazing book called The Drug of the New Millennium, The Brain Science Behind Internet Pornography Use. This is by Mark Castleman. Mark Castleman. And this book, by the way, has been published in the year 2007. And ever since, the research was around this topic, and people were comparing pornography addiction to hard drugs. Now, for the sake of the time, Dr. Ashraf, I have prepared a written answer because I don't want to leave off any of the essential information for the readers. This webinar is meant to be an educational one, and so I wanted every bit of the topic to be covered, inshallah ta'ala, because the video, I believe, will be up online on your pages, on my pages, for generations to come, inshallah. So allow me just to start reading quickly the answers to save the time and to cover the answers from all angles, inshallah ta'ala. The reason why the scholars in this subject have compared pornography addiction to cocaine is, number one, the neurochemical impacts on the brain. So just like cocaine, pornography triggers a surge of dopamine in the brain, creating what exactly? A powerful rush of pleasure and excitement, just like hard drugs or any other substance. This neurochemical response can lead to real addiction, just like any other substance addictions, as the brain starts to crave these imagery later on and with more stimulation to achieve the same high. And on the long run, that's the problem with addiction. On the long run, the brain will not be satisfied with these imagery. And as a result, the second reason why it is compared is the escalation factor, escalation and tolerance. Just as drugs users usually require increasing of the doses, I was a smoker back in the days. May Allah forgive us all. And this is exactly what happened to me. I started with one cigarette only to end up with one pack a day. So just like drugs and how users increase the doses to achieve the same desirable outcome, pornography users also find themselves escalating or find themselves needing more exciting imagery because the previously watched porn content is no longer pleasurable today. So they start searching for more and more and more. And in doing so, they escalate. They start watching bizarre stuff. Many people are reporting that they start watching bestiality, walayadu billah, or homosexuality content, which and they look upon themselves as straight, for example. Number three, also the withdrawal symptoms. When those people try to quit the content, regular users of pornography can experience those annoying withdrawal-like symptoms when attempting to quit for a period of time, including, and these symptoms including but not limited to, anxiety, mood swinging, irritability, subhanAllah, an intense craving for the content that they used to watch. So these are just some of the main reasons why pornography and any other visual addictive behaviors like gaming, like social media, like online shopping, are compared to drugs and other heavy substance that are available out there. May Allah protect us all.
We hope that understanding the dangers of pornography similar to the addiction of drugs, we can actually try to tackle this issue similar to the dangers of drugs. Maybe one day make it, well, now pornography, even in our country, we try as much as possible. The government tries to get rid and delete all the websites. But every single day, there's always one new website being available. So that's very dangerous. And it's always back to us.
That's why it's very important for us to understand as consumers of media that the government may ban all the websites on planet Earth, and this industry will introduce more of that websites, as you rightly said. The only way to cut out this from our existence is to stop the demand and the users themselves to stop to watch or visit these sites. If there is no demand, as you know, there will be no supply. So we need to start by ourselves to block our ways from reaching these websites, inshallah.
That's very true. But among the other challenges is that the teenagers, those group that are very much vulnerable. So adolescence, we understand, is a time of heightened curiosity, emotional development, and digital engagement, and making this group of people more vulnerable to the harmful behaviors like pornography, addiction. So understanding the root causes of vulnerability can help us address the issues more effectively within our communities. So with this in mind, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what would be the contributing factors that make youth particularly vulnerable to pornography addiction.
There are a few factors. Number one, the developing of the brains at that young age. So what happens is the prefrontal cortex, the frontal lobes of the brain, which are responsible for our decision-making ability, focus, impulse control, and so on, are not fully developed. These lobes are not fully developed until mid-20s. And that makes young people, in particular, very vulnerable and susceptible to addictive behavior. Secondly, of course, the curiosity factor. You know, our children will go to the danger, even though you will advise them millions of times, don't go there, be careful of this, be careful of that. The more you insist on your advice to your kids, they are always curious. They wanted to know why. And that's why part of our discussion, we'll talk about parenting and the roles in this whole issue, because a conversation is necessary. Education is necessary. But curiosity and exploration, you know, youngsters at a time, they are very curious about their sexuality. When they started to feel things and sensations in the body, they start becoming curious. And pornography can exploit this curiosity nature or natural curiosity in their lives, providing an easily access, walayadu billah, to unlimited sites of that nature. Thirdly, is that our kids today in 2024 and 20 years maybe back, they are very digital savvy. Not like you and I, Dr. Ashraf. I'm not sure how old are you, but I'm a little bit younger than you, okay? But what I mean is, back in the days, we were so ignorant about technology. You know, we weren't really familiar with many things. Like, that's why they call now our phones smartphones, because there are a lot of functionality to it. Back in the days, only a few buttons and you're good to go.
True.
So because this generation is very digital savvy and technology savvy, they can easily access the way to pornography, and all of that have contributed to the prevalence of pornography among young people in particular. Yeah.
So you mentioned just now regarding the pornography addiction in the first response to the first question. You mentioned about how its effect towards depression and anxiety. So in general, about our mental health. And I think these are among the pressing issues in Malaysia, also amongst teenagers and young adults. So from your own experience dealing with those who struggle with pornography, how does exposure to pornography lead to mental health crisis and emotional well-being among young people?
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, I'm not sure if you are aware of my latest work on the subject. This book is called Porn is Mental. And the tagline of the book is Mental Health Crisis Caused by Porn Consumption. So in that book, I have compiled only 12 mental illnesses that pornography could become a contributor to them. So I'm not claiming here that all those who are suffering from these diseases, walayadu billah, are porn addicts. Like, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that pornography could lead to these mental illnesses. So I have compiled a lot of research. And the good news is that, alhamdulillah, this book has been backed up by a team of medical doctors from the Philippines. So I'm not a doctor myself, but I have done the research and sent it to them. They went through everything and they send their approval that this book is medically proven, alhamdulillah. In that book I have compiled, like, let me just go through the table of content quickly to let the readers know what pornography could lead them to at one point in time. May Allah protect us all. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. But I have mentioned, for example, porn and low self-esteem because of the comparison factor. When you start comparing your body parts with those actors and actresses who have been selected by the industry to just cause arousals. So when you look at these things and the performance and whatnot, which many people are unaware that a scene that you see for 5-10 minutes, it is scripted, and it's scripted very well to hook you on these content for life to come. So low self-esteem, social anxiety. Pornography leads to isolation, and isolation is number one enemy to sobriety. If you wanted to quit, you have to go in the open and live in community. That's why, subhanAllah, in Islam, we are told to always surround ourselves with groups. Alaykum bil jama'ah. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ advised us always to be around the jama'ah, a congregation. That's why praying in the masjid in congregation is more rewardable than praying by yourself behind closed doors. You see? Yes. So in every aspect of the matter, being around people is way better. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that every individual tends to follow the religion or the way of life of his or her friend. If your friends are good people, religious people, you will be like them, simply stated. And if they are on the wrong, if you are hanging out with the wrong crowd, you will be like them, and so on. Trauma. Many people, Dr. Ashraf, probably have read more research in that area, that the reason why they go to pornography is to numb the pain of their traumatic experiences that they had in the past. There are many people who were sexually harassed or sexually traumatized when they were young, or they have seen their role models doing something shameful, and as a result, this trauma haunted them for years and years and years in up until the present moment, and only pornography and self-pleasuring could numb that pain temporarily, and so they find it as a coping mechanism with their traumatic experience. Mental conditioning. Pornography leads to the conditioning the person to believe that this is what they see behind screens. These are sexual pleasure. This is the way how to treat our wives and our husbands. And as a result, when you actually are confronted with a real-life partner, you fail to function sexually. And then I mentioned about depression, narcissism, shame, tolerance, mood swinging, emotional detachment, decision impairment, and of course, addiction. So if we open the door of mental illnesses and pornography, we will not end this discussion. In fact, had I have more time to actually dedicate to this project, I would have gone for part 2, part 3, part 4 on how pornography could lead to the destruction of our mental capacity and mental ability. And subhanAllah, Dr. Ashraf, any student of knowledge out there, Islamic knowledge, who studied any course on Sharia, knows that the main objective why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Sharia, revealed the deen, one of the main objectives is to protect our mind. And yes, we see now that pornography could destroy it. So those who are into it, run away.
Yeah. So maybe another aspect of it, maybe looking at the angle of love and intimacy and maybe respect. So people would often associate sexual intercourse with the feeling of love. But how is this being seen for those people who are addicted to pornography?
Yes, so as I mentioned, those who are walayadu billah consumed by pornography, their understanding of love will change. It will become basically objectifying the female or objectifying the male, because we wanted to bring to our listeners and those viewers that pornography is impacting every segment in our society, including females. So the more you watch these things, then you start looking at real people in your midst, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues and so on, as sex objects. And so when you get married, you would not try to become intimate with them physically only or sexually. You will not try to intimate with them emotionally, but rather all the connection between you and that individual be physical, pure sexual. So that could twist your understanding of sexual pleasure and sexual intimacy. Because as I mentioned earlier, the brain had conditioned you to attain sexual pleasure through screens and pixels. And when you are now with a real life partner, you lose all this connection. There is no any emotions involved anymore.
You mentioned just now, Shewae, regarding we need to run away from pornography. But sometimes there's pop-ups and so on happening day to day whenever we look at the websites and so on. Let me just read some data from the MCMC, which is the body that oversees the contents in social media on the internet in Malaysia. So the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission says it has already received 120 complaints regarding child pornography. This is specifically talking about child pornography on various platforms since 2018. And this is especially concerning after the pandemic COVID-19. So they have blocked 407 websites containing child pornography since 2015 until even back a couple of years back. But we still have new contents, new websites. So in today's digital age, where the explicit contents is available, easily accessible, what could be the practical steps that young people can do to protect themselves or break free from falling into the trap of pornography?
So this can never be done only by young people, Dr. Ashraf. This requires a holistic approach, but it will fall under the same category that I wanted to share with you right now. So in schools, institutions, homes, we must, number one, install what is known today in the field of cyber safety filters or blockers. So we have to apply that in almost every institution. Governmental offices, they know about it. Like, you know, people in high positions in the government, they know these things. Of course, with the help of VPNs, everything goes. That's why it has to be collective support. So even though young people would need those filters on their phones, but parents must monitor because they might also, install other softwares that can bypass these filters. So there are many available out there, like Covenant Eyes, like Knit Nanny, like Bark, like Blocker X. I'm not trying to promote them, but actually those who are serious about protecting their family members, I think they should go and install these filters. In fact, I'm sending a plea to everyone who's watching us that all these websites that I just mentioned, all these apps and blockers and softwares that are doing great in the market of cyber safety are all done by non-Muslims. And we don't have one single software, which I'm working on now. All the data is with me. Everything is ready. Just we need some investors to actually bring about one Muslim app that can protect the internet from falling, our children, from falling prey to these content. So may Allah protect us all. So number one, we use the filtering system and software. Second, always enable parental control on all social media platforms, because social media, unfortunately, is not immune from producing or from having these content available. In fact, what was known as Twitter now has officially permitted and made it lawful to actually produce pornography on their platform. And as you can imagine, if you just go and run a search on the age group that are using what is known now as X platform, formerly known as Twitter, you will see that big number of users are under the age of 18. Use accountability partner software. So there are blockers, just like I mentioned a while ago, and there are also softwares that relies on accountability, which means if the user himself or herself are addicted, they need somebody else to download the software on their phones to monitor the online behavior of that particular individual. So that's called an accountability partner software. In case somebody is tempted or try to access those content, the accountability partner will get a notification on their phone. You see, the system of community and community support, which is the next tip here, is absolutely essential. When we are together in the same boat, we will be saved. But those who will not board the boat, just like the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is just like the boat of or the ship of Noah. Whoever board that boat will be saved. And whosoever will not board it will be alone, behind closed doors, scrolling their lives away on bed. Of course, they will be drowned in the filth of this industry, unfortunately.
Alhamdulillah. So I think at the end, one of the best approaches would be to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ways which Islam educates us. So maybe going into that,
I would like to ask about this. There is no doubt. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
True. So my question would be related to that. So how can faith and spirituality serve as a protective shield against pornography addiction? And how does
breaking up from this one?
So my question would be related to what I mentioned just now regarding spirituality. Yes. Am I okay?
Yes, right. Now I can hear.
Yeah, so back to, again, the teachings of the Prophet and the teaching of Islam. So how can we use faith and spirituality as a protective shield against pornography addiction? So what role does spiritual development play in recovery? As well as prevention.
Absolutely. Big role. We're Muslims. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the slaves of our desire. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran regarding Surah Al-Fatiha, He introduced Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the extremely merciful to all, to one and all. But at the same time, He also introduced our role in this dunya. And He told us that when we worship Allah, we should say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, which means, You alone, Ya Allah, we enslave ourselves to. We are the slaves of Allah, and You alone, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for help. So number one, spirituality at least give us that door of hope to run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for His help, because we know that He's powerful and capable to take us out of this dark phase that many people are going through. Second, Islam taught us about something called taqwa, God consciousness. Every time a person is viewing these content, he is always reminded, even though he's sinful, he's always reminded that Allah is overwatching him, that he's being monitored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite his craving, and of course, despite the addictive behavior and the compulsion that he's going through, he's still aware that Allah is there. So increasing taqwa in our lives, and taqwa, by the way, for those who maybe don't know what it is, taqwa means to create a barrier between yourself and anything that may anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's basically, in a nutshell, what taqwa is. Taqwa includes the fear for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding His punishment. Because as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to us in the Quran about Jannah, He also described hellfire. As much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself as the most merciful, the forgiving, the loving, and so on, He also introduced Himself as shadidul iqab, or severe in punishment. So we cannot just take one aspect of Allah and neglect the rest. We have to be reminded. And this is where taqwa comes in, to remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do injustice in the least. So be careful. Repent. And this is another aspect. Islam provide that door, that every time you relapse, don't ever give up hope. Don't ever give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dr. Ashraf, I have noticed in the past many, 5 to 6 years now, many people are actually literally leaving Islam because of their addiction to pornography. And you may ask, how? What is the relationship? The relationship is the relapse cycle. They keep on relapsing and then repenting and then relapsing and then repenting, failing to realize that addiction has been already engraved in their brain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change anyone or any group of people unless they start changing what's within themselves. Allah will not magically change the addictive pathway that you have created. So people think that because they're relapsing again and again and repent again and again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no longer exist. May Allah protect us all. Look how pornography could lead people to. And we're Muslims. People are zombie now. You know, the idea of being a zombie is that you're behaving as if you're alive, but internally you're dead.
Yes.
That's what some Muslims have reached to as a result of the addiction to pornography. So repentance is that beautiful hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Tell my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, who sin day and night, despair not from the mercy of Allah, for Allah forgive all sins. So don't ever give up hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, lowering the gaze. Can you imagine in the desert 1,400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah that is the ultimate solution to porn addiction. Mm-hmm. Wallahi, there is no better solution than training your eyes to look to that which is lawful. There is no better solution. Because the more you stare, the more you store. Remember this. The more you stare, the more you store. You stare at haram, you store the haram. You stare at halal, you store the haram and the halal. And the more you stare at that or look at that which is beautiful and pure, the more you purify your heart, the more you purify your heart, the better your organs will behave. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, there is a piece of flesh in the human body that if it is sound, everything else follow. And that is the heart, right? And what is the connection between the heart and the eyes and the mind? Is that human camera. That human camera, when it captures something, it is stored in the brain. And once that becomes the thoughts, your heart becomes either infected or purified. Depends on what you have looked at. Subhanallah. This teaching has been there in the Quran more than 1,400 years ago.
Mashallah.
Lowering the gaze. And if you read those ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun about lowering the gaze and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded men and women to lower their gaze, you'll find the next part of the same ayah that as a result of lowering the gaze, your private parts will be protected. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. So I go on and on. And if you do that, you will strengthen your willpower, which is one of the main things that any addiction damages, basically. And that is, you don't have willpower of your own anymore.
That's a beautiful quote. I think there's two comments citing what you just mentioned. The more you, Junita mentions, the more you stare, the more you store. Nur Atira Muhammad Yunus commented also the same thing. The more you stare, the more you store. Break the cycle. Yes, I think that's a very important take-home message with you. That, mashallah. So before we have about less than 10 minutes. So before I end with the last question for you, Sheikh, I would like to ask the viewers, if you have any questions, feel free to drop your question in the comment section so that we can benefit from Sheikh Wa'il for tonight's session, inshallah. So yeah, feel free to post any questions here or maybe any reflections as you have already done, like mentioning and quoting this very beautiful, you stare, the more you stare, the more you stall. All right, so my last question, Sheikh Wa'il, regarding, so you have a lot of experience dealing with those people who already are being addicted to pornography. Maybe any stories that you could share with us, any success stories from your own experience coaching those people affected with porn, so that we would be able to know that there is still a way for those people who are undergoing and struggling to heal.
Alhamdulillah, I've been dealing with people, as you mentioned, for the past many, many years, alhamdulillah. And there is not just a single success story, Brother Ashraf, that comes to mind. But I could say, as I mentioned before in an interview with Sheikh Bilal Asad recently, that alhamdulillah, at the Aware Academy, the little organization that we founded to assist people. And by the way, the Aware Academy, its effort is divided into three areas. One is raising awareness, just like Malaysian against pornography, like what you guys have been doing, mashallah. Second is treating those who are addicted. And thirdly, train the trainers. Train people in perhaps different fields like imams, parents, even psychologists, and those people who are not exposed to clients with addictive behavior like this, to help them in their work to assist those who are addicted to pornography. So in the past many years, alhamdulillah, we have observed 88% recovery rate. 88%. And this is something amazing. And alhamdulillah, the reason being that we are not focusing on the addiction itself. So when mm-hmm. clients come to us, they are sometimes after 2-3 sessions, they will keep on asking, you never talked to me about addiction until now. I said, yeah, because that's not our main focus. Our main focus is to design a lifestyle. Just like what you mentioned earlier, Dr. Ashraf, if we followed the Sunnah, we will never go wrong. If we followed mm-hmm. Islam, wallahi, we will never go wrong. So what we do with any person with this compulsive addictive behavior is to design for him a lifestyle that is based on the Quran, based on the Sunnah, and the best of all generations, the companions of the Prophet. When we do that, we tighten almost all avenues that may lead to relapses. Even if you want to relapse, you will not be able to, because that we have designed an environment that is so protective. We have created circles in your life, people, support in your life that would make it absolutely hard for you to relapse. And that's the main reason of, alhamdulillah, the high success rate. So there is no single story that I could share, but maybe I will refer to the first ever person who came my way to confess his addictive behavior to me, who at that time was 18 years old. And at that time, may Allah protect us all, wanted to actually end up his life. He wanted to kill himself as a result of his daily participation on these sites. And alhamdulillah, I worked with him. Back then, I was in Hong Kong City. I worked with him for about a year and a half. And alhamdulillah, by the end of the period, he was sober completely. And some maybe will hear this for the first time, because the brother started to come out now and start talking about his experience. But actually, he's part of the Aware Academy now, helping people who are addicted to pornography today. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, that's a very good and success story. So we've got a few questions, Brother Wael. So first would be from Aziana Hassan, asking the question on how to increase awareness of parents on the danger of porn among their kids, as this topic still considered taboo. I think in Malaysia, talking about pornography is taboo. So maybe how do they instill awareness to parents to talk about the dangers of porn?
Believe me, my dear sister Ziana, pornography is not only a taboo in Malaysia. Pornography is a taboo all over the world, including the Western world, which we believe or which we think that nudity for them is normal. No, it's not. It's also a taboo topic to discuss, even though they have the concept of freedom to be limitless. But when it comes to pornography, addiction and its impact and all that, it is a taboo. It is also, pushed under the carpet, as they say. But how can we do the unthinkable, to talk to people about this topic that is scary, that is not welcome in our home, is by increasing conversation around that which is uncomfortable. How, Brother Wael, just start opening your mouth. Believe it or not, Dr. Ashraf, the first time I spoke about this issue, I was in Malaysia. The first time ever I opened my mouth about pornography, I was on the stage in front of about 2,500 participants in one of the conferences. And I was given 20 minutes presentation, and I talked about pornography. And in that presentation, I remember vividly, I actually said, here is my number. Here is my email. Contact me if you are addicted, and I will help you. That's what I said. And I left my details, and I ended my presentation, and I went to the hotel room. Wallahi, Brother Ashraf, on that same night, I called the organizer, and he's alive today, and he quoted me in a year later on the same conference. He quoted me. He said that last year we had a presentation about pornography, and we received on that night 320 emails from those participants asking for help. So prior to that, it was very difficult for me to speak about the topic. After I opened my mouth, everybody started coming forward. So I believe to break the taboo of anything, we have to normalize the conversation about it. Initially, it will be difficult for parents to accept. Sooner or later, they will actually understand the value of the conversation, but they will also understand the danger of this content, and they will do the needful. So we have to start somewhere. We can't just say it's taboo, how to do it. We have to speak about it. We have to invite parents in school and provide them with these presentations and give them some tips and tricks on how to protect their homes and how to start a conversation with their kids. The West now are doing the same thing. They are in America, for example, there is a lady who wrote a book called good pictures, bad pictures, teaching parents how to address the issue of pornography to young kids. Talking to young kids now as young as 7 and 8 is essential. Not necessarily to mention the word pornography, but at least to describe that there are images out there that are harmful, and you start training them. Why, Sheikh, we have to speak to young kids at that age? Isn't it, you know, you're opening their eyes to something haram and so on? Sister and brother in Islam who are listening to me, 1 in 10 porn users today is under the age of 10. And just to give you perspective, one of the largest websites that produces these content boasts about 42 billion visits to their website in the year 2019 alone. 42 billion visits. 1 in 10 is under the age of 10. You do the maths and then come and tell me that we shouldn't talk to young kids. May Allah protect us all. So normalizing the conversation is the solution, in my opinion.
We've got a few more questions and comments. Maybe I'll just say, Rosmawati Zainal, send the salam. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Wa'il and Dr. Ashraf. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Muhammad Akram bin Shamsuri asked a question. How to initiate awareness for a person that consumes porn casually, claimed only as coping mechanism, and feels okay with it?
Yeah, any coping mechanism has... you know, two edges of the story. One is harmful and one beneficial. If you are leaning on the beneficial side, then alhamdulillah. For example, if your coping mechanism is to walk for an hour or two, and that's okay, your doctor said walking for you is good, it's good coping mechanism, and there is nothing haram about it, go for it. But if a coping mechanism could lead you to drinking alcohol until you get drunk and sleep and numb your pain for 24 hours, then it's harmful coping mechanism. Pornography, as we know, it's not just addictive. It's not just causing a lot of harms, but it's also haram. It's prohibited. And Islam is a religion of legislation. It's not a religion of suggestions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not suggest, if you can, please don't watch haram. No, no, no. It's a law. It's an order. It's a legislation. So Allah will never make a coping mechanism haram for someone. Yani Allah will not give you a haram tool to cure you. There are some people, they said, drink beer because it's good for the kidney. Partially it's correct. Yani some people, they say beer has some substance that can be cure for those with kidney diseases, but alcohol in it is haram. Therefore, we cannot use a haram substance to cure our bodies. There is no cure in any haram substance that Allah made haram. Allah made unlawful. So if any coping mechanism, the tool itself is haram, then we cannot rely on it. We have to go and seek other help and seek other advice from professionals to get us out of that particular addictive behavior and lead us towards something else that is more beneficial and more acceptable.
Maybe this is another question that is quite related to the issue that you just mentioned. Ismailuddin Fitri asked this question. Pornography is considered normal nowadays, including among youngsters and even Muslim families. How to make them aware that it is not normal?
I don't believe that people consider pornography normal. Because if that's the case, then people on the dining table or people on the dinner, you know, nighttime, movie night or something, they would be watching porn together. And that's never the case. Pornography is an individual behavior. Unless there are some married couples nowadays, of course, it's been happening. Either the husband is addicted and will force pornography on his wife, and then in the process, she becomes addicted herself, and it becomes normal to them. But they will never show it to the kids. If it's normal, why don't invite the kids as well and watch with you? You see, so it's never normal. It's never normal. But it's maybe you misuse maybe the word. We could say prevalent, super prevalent. It becomes common among youngsters, but it's not normal. They know it's wrong. They don't want it. Believe it or not, I think there was a statistics. I just forgot the exact numbers. But group of kids around 12 to 16 years of age were interviewed, those who were addicted to pornography, and they themselves believe that they are compelled on watching them. They don't want to watch the imagery, but they're compelled. That's the addictive behavior described here. So no, it's not normal. It is common. And as I mentioned, if it is common that much, then conversation and education must become common around the same topic to counter that commonality.
Okay. So there's a comment by Shuhada. I think first she responded to the event that you mentioned when you were in Malaysia. It's on faith event, right, Sheikh Wa'il? Is that true?
What's that, on faith event?
The one that you mentioned when you were being asked about pornography. So you went to Malaysia and somebody asked you, was that the name of the event?
It wasn't on faith events. Faith events is very recent. I've been doing this for many, many years. So I don't have to mention the exact name of the conference. That's irrelevant.
Okay. So she asked also a follow-up question. So Salam Sheikh Wa'il, if that person keep on relapsing after doing the tawbah, does it mean the previous tawbah is lacking? Just wondering, what are the additional dua or deeds to avoid these things? Jazakallah, Sheikh.
Tawbah by itself, if it is done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah alone is the one who can accept the tawbah. We cannot evaluate whether the tawbah, the previous tawbah, was invalid or valid. This is something Allah alone can observe. But what I would say is that if you repented and then relapsed, it means that you have not done other things with tawbah to protect you and prevent you from a second relapse. What is the second thing that you need with tawbah? Community. Avoiding isolation, installing all these blockers, making it very difficult for yourself to relapse again. If you wanted to lose weight, what do? You keep on eating pizzas and bringing all these snacks and putting them around the house, or making it absolutely difficult for you to reach out and grab those snacks that add calories into your body and makes you gain weight and so on. That would be the solution, is to avoid the source of relapses. And what is the source of relapses usually is isolation, loneliness, being alone behind closed doors with this shaitan. That's it. You and this alone, what are you going to do? And you know that you're addicted. And once the craving pops up, once the dopamine gets into control, you're clouded, you're blinded, you cannot see. So we never say that the tawbah is unacceptable or was not right. No, it was acceptable. But you ruined it by the relapse. So you need to make another tawbah and keep on making the tawbah. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waiting for one extra tawbah to cleanse you completely. But addiction will never just go away by tawbah. Addiction will never just be erased from your brain because you made a tawbah. You made a tawbah because you feel bad, and that's a good thing. You know, when you feel guilty, it pushes you towards goodness. It pushes you towards repentance. And that's a great thing. But it will never become the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is holistic one, as I mentioned earlier. Tawbah, becoming a religious person, increase your ibadah, dua, and so on, but at the same time, live within community, minimize being alone to the max. I would repeat that. This is a quote worth remembering. Minimize being alone to the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, meaning, don't be alone except when you are in the toilet. Don't be alone except when perhaps you're changing your clothes. But don't just take your devices into your bedroom. Bedrooms were made for one thing. What is that, Dr. Ashraf? Can you guess? Bedrooms were made for one thing. Sleeping. Yeah, simple. Sleep.
Yeah.
So we don't live there. Bedrooms were not meant to be a living place where we study, we eat, we entertain ourselves. No. Bedrooms were made for having something called bed to lie down on it and sleep so that we can get up for Fajr, fresh and strong and ready for a new day, not for scrolling and for watching movies and for watching this and that. No. So avoiding all these reasons and triggers that usually bring you back to square one, and you would be all right, inshallah.
With regards to efforts, I think there's one question by Ami. He asked, based on your research, Sheikh Wa'il, does marriage can help actually to solve the porn addiction? If yes, how? If no, why?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. The Prophet ﷺ told us, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O young people, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawaj. Whosoever amongst you have the means, let him get married. Why? Because it protects your chastity. Allahu Akbar. Mm-hmm. And it protects your eye, because now you don't have any reason to look to another girl. But be careful. If you are addicted already before marriage, then your wife will not be enough. Which means marriage in this case can become very useful for someone with addiction if that potential spouse would know before the marriage, so that she can become your accountability partner, so that she can monitor your behavior online, so that she can monitor your devices. In that case, marriage will be successful. But if you just get married, marriage on its own will not resolve the problem. So some may ask, is it permissible for me to expose my sin to a potential wife who might say, no, I don't want to get married to you, and go and tell somebody else? What is better for you? What is better for you? To maintain this as a secret between yourself, you and yourself, and keep on relapsing even after you get married? I'm dealing with people who are as old as 50 and 55 years old who are married, and they have children, and some of them have grandchildren, and they are still addicted to pornography because they are afraid to tell their wives. But I have also someone whose interview, by the way, on my YouTube channel, if you want to watch it, Hisham or Hasif, who is the video playlist on my YouTube channel, Sheikh Wahed Ibrahim. The playlist named Heroes, where I interviewed this brother in particular. I counseled him for 1 year, and he also didn't want to get married. He didn't want to get married. And subhanAllah, after this year of counseling, he finally decided to get married, and he was still addicted. Now, mashallah, tabarakallah, he is completely sober. He has 3 beautiful kids. His wife got to know before the marriage, and she supported him. She became his accountability partners. And guess what? Both of them today are among the coaches of the Aware Academy. His story is online, and he have clients today from the UK. He's from the UK, and he's helping people. So marriage will be a successful tool for recovery if the wife is aware of the problem. And believe me, if the potential spouse, your fiancé, said no, I don't accept you as an addict, then it's good for you. Now you know that your wife will not support you when you're feeling down. Find somebody else.
Okay. There's another question from Muhammad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a question from Muhammad Badrul Munir bin Ruzi. In your opinion and research, Brother Wael, would porn addiction lead to dissociative disorder that involves experiencing a loss of connection between thoughts, memories, feelings, surroundings, behavior, and identity?
To an extent, yes, but this need, I can't now give a general answer to this, but there are some people who are experiencing this numbness, complete numbness. They don't know who they are. They can't relate to anything that they do. They lost interest in everything that they used to love back in the days. And that's why I can't say yes or no, black and white like that. Those kind of cases require really an intense session to dig deeper as regards to why the addiction started in the first place. But yes, there are some cases that would report these symptoms.
Comment by Junita, more stare, more storage of porn images. These images will pop up in the mind, especially when you are alone. Example, doing your salat and reciting the Quran.
That's correct. So, flashbacks. These flashbacks, yeah.
Flashbacks, yes. And I think there's one last question. We only have another 2 minutes.
I just want to say something about the flashbacks. The flashbacks can be weakened on the long run. So when a person recovers, these flashbacks will not be deleted, but they will be very vague in the mind that will not have a negative impact anymore on the action once you quit.
Okay, so one last question, and you could sum up the whole session. This question is by it popped up a bit more earlier, but I saved it for the last part. Nur Atira Muhammad Yunus asked at 9:04 p.m. She asked, "How do we integrate psychological and spiritual efforts to fight pornography?"
So this will be done when you reach out to a professional therapist. A professional therapist who is a Muslim, aware of his deen, will combine psychological tricks, tips and tricks to assist you on coping with the craving, the intense craving, the withdrawal symptoms, as well as also advising you and leading you towards a lifestyle that is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger. So I can't now say what psychological tips are required for people who are addicted to pornography, because that varies from one person to another. And that's why sometimes professional help is the only option for people who are addicted.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to summarize and give some conclusion remarks, Brother Wael?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to say that sometimes when I speak about this topic, people started feeling dark and blue and feeling like the whole world is over their shoulders. I just want to say that recovery is really possible. But the road that leads to it, it's a bit annoying and difficult. And if you are looking for a magical pill or a magical wand to cure you, there is none. I have been reading on a daily basis about this subject. And all those scholars, neuroscientists and psychologists and even spiritual figures from different religious backgrounds have described this to be the most difficult thing for anyone to go through. The most challenging thing of our modern time is pornography. That's my claim. My claim is there has never been an era in history where pornography has been super prevalent to young people like 7 and 8 years old, like the time we're living in. So we are dealing with a monster that is so strong and so powerful. And as a result, if you wanted to get out of this, an equally strong recovery method is required. So it is possible, yet you have to bear with patience the process. And once you exit that cycle, wallahi, you will feel the most powerful version of yourself, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Remember, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was about to commit zina, when the lady of Al-Aziz was seducing him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this scene beautifully. Sorry if I will take an extra few seconds of your time. I hope that will not affect on the program. But Allah said, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. She came unto him almost, and he came unto her almost. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Until Allah opened his heart for running away from this scene. What happened? He ran with every inch of his body, of every particle of his existence. He ran away to a point that his shirt, when he ran away to the opposite direction, his shirt was ripped off when she pulled him. That shows you the intensity of Yusuf alayhi salam running away from the haram. So if you want to get out of the addictive behavior that you're going through, you have to equally go through hell in order for you to exit and experience Jannah. Just like As-Sirat, when we are going to Jannah, inshallah ta'ala, what are we going to walk on? We're going to walk on that straight path that is leading to Jannah. And the description of this straight path is very, very vivid in our tradition. It is thinner than a strand of a hair, and it's sharper than the sword, and its sides there are hooks. And underneath this is hellfire. But at the end of this path is Jannah. So in order for you to go to Jannah, if you want to quote me again, Dr. Ashraf, if you wanted to go to Jannah, you have to go through hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us salvation and purity and help those brothers and sisters who are struggling with this disease a complete recovery, a complete cure. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And for those who are watching us, if you wish to book a free consultation session with myself, you can visit my website if you don't mind, Sheikh. I'm not trying to promote anything, wallahi, but if you wanted to visit awareacademy.com.au, awareacademy.com.au, you will find a link there where you can book a session with me, 15 minutes, just a consultation session. That will help you at least understand your level of addiction and the next step needed for you to recover. May Allah protect us all.
Jazakallah khairan kathira, Sheikh Wael Ibrahim, for the tremendous talk. Alhamdulillah, we have learned a lot from you. Maybe I'd like to summarize a bit. You have mentioned about the importance of having a good lifestyle, and that is actually even your main aims or the way to recovery, having and following the lifestyles of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what had been taught in the Quran. For example, I think you quoted Surah Nur, the ayat 30 to 31 regarding lowering our gaze for the brothers and the sisters. And I think you mentioned a very good quote that responds to that, because why we need to do that is because the more we stare, the more we store. So hopefully we store more of reading Quran, reading good things and so on. And we always have to what was that again? Minimize being alone to the maximum. So making that as a maximum. And finally, it was you mentioned about before going to Jannah, you have to go through all this hell. And hopefully, inshallah, despite having to do some struggles, hopefully, inshallah, at the end, we will find paradise and Jannah, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh Wael, for being with us today, tonight. And hopefully, we will have other sessions, maybe in Malaysia. Today is in Malaysia, but face-to-face, inshallah.
Ameen.
Yes, the audience, if you would like to support, maybe say something. If you want Sheikh Wael to be here in Malaysia, so say something in the comments. So maybe if there's more demand, Sheikh Wael will be willing to come here, come over. So I think that's all from us. Thank you very much, Sheikh Wael, from us, Malaysians Against Pornography, and also in collaboration with Aware Academy. So now we will continue our session with the quiz so that the audience can also engage with us, inshallah. Yeah, Izam Mudin Fitri said, yes, we want to have Sheikh Wael in Malaysia.
There is a plan. We are cooking something for you, Malaysian, but we need your support, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. Please come again to Malaysia, Aziana Hassan said. Ismailiza Ismail mentioned, thank you, Sheikh. Okay, so are we ready with the quiz, the team from MAP? Can we continue with the quiz? Okay, so I'll read the question. So this is how it goes. I'll read the question. We have, inshallah, 5 questions. And then the person who responds and answers the correct question the fastest, you will get the award or the prize. So the first question is what appears here. What specific type of addiction is addressed in the title of today's webinar? So I'll read again. What specific type of addiction is addressed in the title of today's webinar? Okay, we have a few responses. I think there's already more than 5. Okay, we have the winner. So I'll continue to the next question first. So the winner is, I'll announce the winner. So the winner for this first question is Izamuddin Fitri. Okay. So next question. Question number 2. Name the surah and verse in the Quran that instructs us to lower your gaze. So the first one was the easiest. It's getting more challenging.
Now they need to check Google. They need to check Google quickly.
Yes. Okay. All right. We've got answers. Let me check with the admin who got the fastest answer. Fastest and correct answer. Okay. Okay. So the person, the winner is Brother Amir. Okay. Third question. Give one common sign of pornography addiction. Okay, give one common sign of pornography addiction. Let me see. Okay, we have a winner, Aina Hanani, for the third question. Let's move on to the fourth question. Today's webinar is a collaboration between 2 organizations. So, which organizations? We want both of the collaborators, both organizations. One from Malaysia and one from Australia.
What is MAP stands for? Come on. Guys, you're so lazy.
I think we have some clues already.
Oh, we have somebody already, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, there's a lot of answers, but I'll have to ask the... Okay, let me check. So the winner for the fourth question will be Muhammad Akram. I think because he mentioned in full.
The full name, yes.
And Malaysian against pornography, okay. So we have reached to the last question for the quiz. List one practical step young people can take to protect themselves from falling into the trap of pornography. Okay.
Get married, mashallah. Brother Tawfiq, you wanna get married quickly, huh?
Minimize being alone to the maximum. Okay. I'm still waiting for the admin to give the winner. Oh, that is the same person. He has already won. Can we have the same person to win two prizes, Dr. Bisha? Oh, Ken. Okay. Yeah. So the winner is Izmanuddin Fitri.
Mashallah.
Okay. So then we have completed all the questions for the quiz, alhamdulillah. So for the winners that have been announced just now, please contact Dr. Bisha 0123-800053 to claim the 30 ringgit prize in the form of Touch and Go e-wallet. So please contact Dr. Bisha. You can screenshot or you can watch this YouTube video again to get the phone number which appears here in the writing.
And don't forget to share the prize with Sheikh Wael Ibrahim.
Yes. But once it's converted into Australian dollar, it will be really low.
Okay.
So I think
to all, congratulations. Well,
yes,
done.
Congratulations to all the winner, and thank you again to Sheikh Wael Ibrahim, and thank you to all the audience for participating in this talk, in this session, inshallah. So hopefully we can have this kind of session again, and hopefully this is also one of the efforts for us to increase the dialogues and talking about this pornography, which, as mentioned by one of the audience, saying it is a taboo. Hopefully, this is one of the measures or efforts that we are doing. I think that's all. Thank you again, Brother Wael Ibrahim. Thank you to the team from MAP, Malaysians Against Pornography, as well as Aware Academy. With that, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. And I'll see you.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.